Hey folks, Ned Pyle here again. I'm Program Manager in Storage Replica and the Windows Server team here at Microsoft. And I'm going to talk today about Storage Replica. Storage Replica is our new block level synchronous replication product we're releasing in the next version of Windows Server. You may have played with it already in our October release, the first technical preview, and by now you have your hands on the Windows Server Technical Preview 2, and you have this feature right here in your grasp. You may not know it yet. I'm going to show you a little bit about how this works. What some of our scenarios and capabilities are. And even if you played with the original version, we've added a bunch of stuff. You know, it's been nearly 6 months now as I speak. And then we'll talk a little bit about our testing and maybe even show you a little treat at the end. So let me just come up here to the whiteboard. Storage Replica is block level replication. It's synchronous or asynchronous. It is host based. It is storage agnostic. It comes in Windows Server in Data Center Edition. And the basically, the idea is for disaster recovery, or what I like to say, disaster preparedness. Disaster recovery is I've had my disaster and hopefully I've protected myself so that the damage isn't too bad. I like to say disaster preparedness because I think that a really good plan when you have a hurricane coming or a flood advisory or imminent something is have the ability to say, look, rather than wait for us to have a problem, let's move all of our data somewhere else, or better yet, let's flip a switch which simply raises that data up somewhere else because we've been keeping it in sync the entire time. And with SR using synchronous replication, you're in lockstep between data centers, between your physical locations all the time. There's no way to be, your recovery point objective is always zilch, zero. It's always identical. You're mirroring data. So we have a couple of scenarios we can do. We have the easy peasy server to server. That's easy, two servers replicating a volume, keeping them in sync all the time. I can also do cluster to cluster. Cluster to cluster means that I have one cluster here, one cluster there. They're not related in any way except by storage replica. We keep them in sync the whole time. If you lose that cluster, who cares? You have another cluster over here at another site. That one's pretty nice because you had the capability to run, really bigger, much workloads, high availability on both ends. You may not be using a disaster recovery site here. You might even be using just another data center that you have in order to balance out load and keep things working on both sides. Then we have something which is really new to Windows as a native capability, stretch cluster. Stretch cluster is one cluster stretched between two sites with the nodes in one site and the nodes in the other site sharing their own individual storage, which is kept in sync the entire time, but the cluster still operates completely normally like you would expect a regular Windows failover cluster. So you can move things around, automatically fail over, fail back. It's very hands-off. Versus server to server and cluster to cluster, which you need to orchestrate manually. You need to either run PowerShell or use Azure Site Recovery, which we have a preview at this point, which will let you control those systems and have a web interface through Azure push button to move your workloads around, make one primary, secondary, what have you. And then finally, we have this sort of a silly one, which is server to self. Which is, it sounds like a toy where I replicate to myself the whole time, but the interesting thing about that is we have a feature called seeding. So if I was going to take a server and actually put the data in another site, I might want to put data on that copy that I'm going to ship, through the mail or FedEx or UPS. I can use server to self to take data, copy it to another volume on the same server, effectively the world's best robocopy ever invented, and then grab that disk and just ship the disk and shove it into the server in the other end. And when I say disk, it's probably disks, right? So those are the scenarios. All of these give you disaster recovery. All of them give you a zero RPO, a recovery point objective. These right here support asynchronous operations. So if you have to go beyond ranges, usually in the 40 to 50 kilometer range, what we want you to do is stay under 5 milliseconds of round trip latency. These ones you're allowed to go as far as you want, go around the world. It's asynchronous, it's okay. The stretch cluster, we force you to do synchronous We don't want anybody creating clusters that can have data be different on different nodes. That sort of breaks the rules of clustering. So how does this thing actually work? It's pretty straightforward. We'll look at it from the perspective of two servers. That's the simplest way. So I have server A. I'm going to try and step over here. And server B. And I want to keep this volume, D, protected across sites. So here's my river. And I'm over here in, let's say, Manhattan. And this is Jersey City. Not the best place to replicate to, probably, but, you know, it's good enough. That means if I have a fire, a flood, sort of like Sandy, for example, some sort of issue that happens over here, I lose power. Nearby, within a few miles range, I have a perfect copy of that data all the time. So when I set up replication, after 2 years of work and us, you know, a team of devs and engineers and test and program managers and stuff working on all this, what storage replica all boils down to is simply being a filter driver that lives in this disk. And if we look at it from a perspective of a stack, you have a file system like NTFS, and you have a partition, and you have the disk drivers, like storage spaces, you know, the virtual disk piece, and then you actually have the physical disk. We are right in here. So every I/O that comes down on its way to the disk is intercepted by us, buffered and written to a log, shipped along with every other I/O. We package these I/Os up into a variable size buffer that grows and shrinks based on the size of your I/Os, the frequency, how many we can fit into one tick, and writes it to a log over here. Once it's committed here and here, that I/O comes back up to your application as if your application had simply written it, gotten to the disk, and came back up normally like it has for the last 60 years of computing, right? Now, the interesting thing about how we do this is we actually use SMB 3.1.1 as our transport. So rather than inventing some sort of proprietary TCP, RPC, whatever protocol to ship all this stuff across, we decided to use a product server message block that's been a Windows server for since 2012, this 3.0 version, which supports things like RDMA, encryption, multi-channel, and brings all these capabilities that would have taken us years to create ourselves and probably not do as good a job, honestly, and package up all of our block I/O traffic to go across using SMB as a transport, which means that your firewall management is very straightforward, your protocols on the network are well established and understood, we're not introducing something new and weird. It's crazy fast, I mean crazy fast. And once you get between sites, because SMB supports things like RDMA, you start fitting into products that could go long range, made by, you know, some of the RDMA manufacturers like Mellanox and Chelsea. They're designed for long haul operations. And that way, you get the benefits of RDMA's latency and low CPU combined with this feature. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a second. But when you're doing replication, you are taking every I/O and putting it between two logs and eventually hardening it to two disks. So think about SR as being sort of a multi-stage caching mechanism itself as well. Because when you write your I/O that's headed towards the disk, we're intercepting it. We're bundling it up along with other I/Os into as many as we can fit into one package. The log disks that we're writing to, you will hopefully have on SSDs, NVMe, NVDIMM, and, you know, NVRAM, any one of those products which is super duper fast disks, because this is now your file system, so to speak. The logs are where you're actually writing your data. And so when you write and harden to these logs, which write through to the actual disk underneath them, separate from the data disk, which can be HDD, spinning Rust, junk, we don't care. That's what's going through the IO path. The faster you keep this, the faster you keep this network, the faster your application will get its IO back. And as a matter of fact, compared to spinning HDDs over here with your fast sort of tier of logging and SR, and the fact that we bundle and aggregate IOs, your performance can actually increase when being replicated under certain circumstances. Don't sell your boss on this being as the world's fastest way to get faster by replicating. Over time, we're going to make you a little bit slower, but we have two goals with this product. Don't make you that much slower than us not being there. And the payoff of us being not much slower is that you are twice as safe. And by including it in Windows, it costs what Windows costs, unlike the rest of the storage replication market. So what I'd like to do is go off of my sort of not very attractive whiteboard skills and talk to a friend of mine here about some aspects of SMB over there. So one of the key aspects of storage replica is that it uses SMB3. We want to rely on a standard protocol used by Windows Server rather than writing our own from scratch. And a key aspect of SMB is RDMA or SMB Direct. And rather than me try to explain it, I decided to bring in the guy who actually wrote it, Mr. Greg Kramer.
So my name's Greg. I'm an engineer on the SMB team, and I've spent the past couple releases focusing on performance, particularly with regard to RDMA. So most people probably don't know what RDMA is, so it'd be helpful to draw a little diagram and explain what we're trying to make better. All right, so this diagram shows sort of the classic pre-RDMA remote file system stack as it exists in the Windows operating system. So you have a user mode application running on your client system, and it's issuing IO down to the SMB client in kernel mode. The SMB client takes those IO requests, reads, writes, what have you, and formats them into SMB network packets. So those will be handed off to the TCP/IP stack. It does all the normal TCP/IP network processing, hands it off to the NIC, and then the NIC transmits SMB3 packets across the wire to the server. The packet makes its way back up the normal TCP/IP networking stack. It eventually lands at the SMB server. The server does the reverse translation of the network formatted request back to a local file system, read or write. If it's a buffered IO, it might go to cache manager. Otherwise, it might go directly to the file system and your storage request is processed. Then the completion notification makes the reverse trip all the way back through the stack, back up to the application who sees the completion of his read or write request. So this is sort of the classic remote file systems life cycle for an IO. Now, this works pretty well, but there's always things that we can improve. And one of the things that we looked at for Server 2012 was the cost of this portion of the stack. So TCP/IP is a complex protocol, and it does a lot of good things. But this is all software running on the host system, right? So any software that we're running is consuming CPU cycles, and that increases latency. And we'd really like to give those CPU cycles back to the applications, and we'd like to reduce the latency of your IO. So the question is, what can we do to reduce the cost of the normal networking stack, right? So enter RDMA. RDMA is sort of a side-by-side thinner networking stack that we fitted under the SME client. So the way to look at that is it's an alternate transport with a new type of NIC that we refer to as an RNIC. And I've drawn the height of this box much smaller to sort of show that we're reducing all of this cost here. Now, I can talk a little bit about how that works. RDMA stands for Remote Direct Memory Access. Now, most of us are familiar with DMA. That's been around forever for local storage devices. The basic idea is that instead of asking the CPU to copy bytes between storage devices and main memory, you allow the devices or a DMA controller to do that for the CPU, right? So all those cycles go back to the CPU, applications can use them, everyone's happy. So at some point in time, we realized that, hey, if this is good for local storage devices, we can extend this concept across the network, right? We can make network cards capable of directly transferring memory from host memory on one system to host memory on another system, right? And if you change your network protocols to accommodate that, you can get a really big increase in performance. So the way that that works with the RDMA stack is that the application issues its I/O, and the SMB client is going to build an SMB Direct packet. Right? SMB Direct is the technology we added in 2012 that allows the SMB protocol to use RDMA. And the key thing to realize here is that the data that actually is transferred over the network with the request is very small. It doesn't actually include the data to write, for example. What we've done is we've told the NIC about the data that we want to transfer over to the file server, and we'll take care of that later, but we'll take care of it in a way that doesn't involve the CPU, right? So the message goes to the RDMA stack, and once we've formatted that request, it goes straight down to the RNIC. It bypasses all of this, right? So this is our where we're winning back CPU that we can hand back to the applications, right? So the RNIC is going to transfer that request over here. And again, it sort of jumps all the way up here, bypassing this, and the SMB server receives the request, right? Now, at that point in time for a write request, the server is aware that it has data that it needs to hand off to the file system. And this is where we can tell the RNIC, hey, your peer RNIC knows about this memory, right? And I'd like you to put it somewhere. Like, I'd like you to put it in cache over here. And we can ask the RNICs to just please do that for us, right? And at that point in time, the NICs will transfer that data from the application's address space all the way over the network and into the target memory location with no CPU involvement whatsoever, right? So we've won back a whole lot of CPU. And in the process, we've also decreased latency for our IOs by a pretty substantial amount, right? The key realization here is that if we can shorten this networking stack, if we can make it lighter weight, we can hand back CPU to the applications, we can reduce their latency. If this is a hypervisor or, you know, some other high-intensity workload, we've just given them that much more capacity, right? Now, with RDMA, there is no network fabric just called RDMA. It's a general purpose name for this sort of capability. We support three fabrics today. We support InfiniBand, we support iWarp, which is RDMA over TCP, and we support Rocky, which is RDMA over converged Ethernet. So there's a bunch of options to pick from, multiple vendors. Each fabric kind of has its strengths and its weaknesses, so you can tailor the solution to your needs. And we've used it to great effect so far.
Thanks, Greg. What I want to point out real quick here is where Storage Replica fits into all this. Storage Replica is using SMB as a client and a server, and this is our transport for every block of data we send along. The really groovy part about RDMA is SR is super latency sensitive. The whole point of doing synchronous replication is to keep two servers in two different sites exactly lockstep and sync, which means the entire I/O path that happened from your application has to complete all the way over here and all the way back for your app to actually finish the I/O that it thought that it was just writing to one disk over here. So we have a rule that we say, effectively, 5 milliseconds or less. We want the entire round-trip latency of your communication to be 5 milliseconds and no more than that for synchronous. And it can be, but we just don't want you to have that experience. And SMB Direct and RDMA takes so much latency out of the equation with a more dedicated network, with something which is reducing the latency through lower CPU, the entire processing cycle having less work interrupting it in the middle or have fewer things to pass through, that it really is our recommendation for doing metropolitan area replication. And in the case of storage replica in this next version of Windows Server, we'll be supporting iWarp and InfiniBand using Metro X long haul replication solution. So architecture's great, whiteboard's great. Greg, could we go look at this stuff?
I got my hearing protection here. You want to take a look?
I definitely want to take a look.
All right, don't forget the spool.
Oh. So now we're in one of our labs. I borrowed these servers off of Greg to do some testing recently. And even though these two servers are touching each other, they're actually 25 kilometers apart. I'm gonna have Greg show you what I mean by that.
So these are two of my test machines, the client and server. And you can see the RDMA cards over here. I've got several different types in right now. These are my iWarp cards and my InfiniBand cards. Another iWarp card, that's just another 10 gig network there. And for Ned's tests, we wanted to test long range replication using RDMA. So when he says that they're 25 kilometers apart, what he means is that we've connected these two systems using these fiber optic cables. And as you can see, if you follow the wires all the way up, we've got these two spools up here, 25K worth of fiber optic cable.
So that was our Chelsio setup using iWarp. This is our Mellanox InfiniBand Metro X setup. Metro X is a long range way of running InfiniBand. If you look up here at the top, that is a 40 kilometer spool of fiber optic cable running all the way down into these long haul switches, which then run down into these InfiniBand switches, which then run down into our servers. These test servers are plugged into SANs, JBODs, all different types of configurations where we test storage replica using a real world RDMA network. So we talked about storage replica. We talked about RDMA, thanks to my friend Greg here. By now, you have your hands on the Windows Server Technical Preview 2 download. You can run everything we just showed you. You can do all this yourself. If you've got RDMA configurations, you can try them yourself. We really want your feedback. And look down at the bottom here. You'll see various ways to see our blog posts, TechNet, and even an email address. You can send me direct feedback about anything you like, don't like, or want to see in storage replica. Thanks very much.